Lord, what is this world coming to? What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say. What does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on our hot topic. And you know, we are getting ready now to go into this 2020 election, and we're right in the middle of Black History Month, and the question is on the table: is Black Americans, are they thriving? Are they thriving under President Donald Trump? Is Black American, are they better off under Donald Trump? You know, the unemployment is low. The Black businesses is high. A lot of Black businesses has come into being since President Trump. And we have a speaker today named Kevin Jackson. And he's under the impression that Black Americans are thriving under Donald Trump. Get close to your radio and listen to what he has to say.
Kevin Jackson, excellent to have you on American Thought Leaders.
Thank you, glad to be here.
So you're the executive director of Black Sphere and Seeking Educational Excellence.
Correct.
And actually, you're here today at Western Conservative Summit to talk about, among other things, identity politics, right, which is something I'm very interested in and very concerned about. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your thoughts on identity politics?
I think every policy decision that's being made today, particularly in America and probably really around the world, is based on identity politics.
Wow.
If you think about it, whether it's an immigration policy in the border, they call Americans xenophobic, right? Oh, they don't want Mexicans here. There are millions of Americans of Mexican heritage that we have no problem with. But when it comes to the left's agenda and letting in illegals, then suddenly we become xenophobic. We are made up of every possible population of people on the planet. America is the biggest melting pot mosaic you could ever create. It is God's gift to the world in that regard, and yet we are always facing identity politics. So whether it's Joe Biden's a racist or Donald Trump is a racist, or now Nancy Pelosi is actually being accused of being a racist by her own party, you can see identity politics. But go anywhere in the world. It's whether you go to places in Africa, it's the Bantu against the Hutus. It's one tribe against another. And that's how the divisions occur. We are one America, but we don't act that way because we have a division within this country who wants to see it destroyed. And in the time where we are feasting, we've had a decade under Barack Obama where this country suffered mightily. In 2 years, Donald Trump has reversed the tide, and suddenly we got to hear about calls of racism. Or you, being a male, Jan, you are toxically masculine, as am I, by the way. I exude masculinity, and I'm proudly so. But we're supposedly toxically masculine, and we're products of a rape culture and a host of other things. So it's always identity. You're a white male, I'm a Black male, so we have to already have some preconceived idea of who we are. That's ridiculous. We are who we are.
We're not judged based on, you know, who we are inside, let's say. We're only based on who we are outside or how we're perceived to be on the surface.
We're not even allowed to speak before we're even judged about anything. I mean, at least allow me to have a conversation before you start prejudging. And what's interesting is there's another side of the aisle which always is accused, the conservatives are always accused of prejudging and having all these preconceived ideas of who people are, and we're the ones going, hey, let's sit down and talk. I'm happy to talk to the LGBT community. I'm happy to talk to feminists. I'm happy to talk to open borders types. I'm happy to talk to New World Order people or any other crazy idea, because in having that discussion, I guarantee you I can make a case for why a pragmatist like me would say why I don't want open borders any more than I want to go home after I leave here and find somebody in my house that doesn't belong there. Right?
Right.
So this is where we've got to have these conversations, and unfortunately we're not having them.
So, you know, identity politics, is where does it come from? Give me an overview.
It comes from, in a word, money. There's an old saying, if there's one lawyer in a town, he'll starve to death. If there are two lawyers in a town, they'll both thrive, right?
Okay.
So we're in a point where we've got to have two lawyers. The Democrats and the leftists who spit identity politics daily, they talk about reparations for blacks. They talk about, again, whatever the issue may be for whatever special interest group it is, whether it's the LGBT community, the black community, the Latino community, women, or whatever. And at any given time, if you look at any of those groups, we're all thriving. Blacks are thriving in America. We are more employed than in any time in history. We have more business starts under Donald Trump. We have more home ownership. And I could go on. More, you name it. But we're still told that we're in bad shape. Women are being told that there's better places to live. I'd love to know where a woman could live more freely than in America. And what's their big grievance? Oh, well, we make 28 cents less per hour. Well, you might pick better careers. Or, hey, here's a suggestion. Start your own companies. Charge whatever you want. Flip it. Make it more of an imbalance. But instead, no, it's somebody, probably a white male, who's got their foot on the neck of black people, of Latinos, of women, or whomever else. And they're the reason why it can't get done. Well, if anybody stopped for 1 second and said, wait a minute, we're in a country where people come over here and within one generation are thriving. There's many examples of it. Nigerians, for example, are one of the most successful groups in the country, bar none. So what's their...
I didn't know that.
They are one of the most successful. So what's their issue? Asians make white people, when it comes to colleges and universities, they're the tops. When it comes to businesses, income, they're second to Nigerians. What's their issue? So when you look at all these problems, the only conclusion you can come to is there's somebody who says we've got to start a grievance issue in order to keep the money flowing.
I see. Very, very interesting. And we've been, you know, at Epoch Times, you know, we've been accused of being an anti-communist media, and I've never disputed that. But this identity politics is closely tied to cultural Marxism, at least as I understand it.
Correct.
Can you break that down a little bit for us?
Well, I think it's probably a little too deep for the amount of time we have, but I'll tell you this, it is a taught thing. If you can teach people that have a perceived grievance, and let's use blacks for example, tell them you were slaves, America made you slaves, and in America violated your civil rights, and don't even blame the right accusers, which happen to be the Democrats, and certainly don't go back to the issue of slavery and how it began, where it was blacks who were making slaves of other blacks, right? Because then that takes your eye off the ball. So if you teach me that I was robbed from another culture in another country, continent, brought to America and enslaved, mistreated, why should you love America, Kevin? Well, forget that we just had a black president. Forget that there are black multimillionaires all running around this country. We are free to be and do whatever we want to be. And in a 243 short lit years, we are now as free as anybody else in this country. Forget that. I want you to grieve. I want you to be upset. I want you to be mad. Because if I can make you mad, I can make you adopt my ideology. So that whole thing is being taught. And it's a communist manifesto to make somebody hate what somebody else has. If you got a brand new bike and I don't have to hate you for you having a bike. And I have to to make sure that we both get bikes, when in the end, nobody gets a bike except the guy who started the fight.
Oh, very interesting. I've actually heard it said that it's kind of this sort of thing, thinking is rooted in jealousy.
Of course. Yeah. I would say envy and jealousy, but again, look at any of the grievances and any of the grievance groups and ask yourself, what is their real issue? So, for example, blacks would complain of the conditions that we have in this country. Well, look at where the most blacks are concentrated. At 13% of the population in most big cities, we are well over 30 to 60, 70% of the population. So if you're in Baltimore, you're probably 50% of the population. Cleveland, Cincinnati, Chicago, you name it. So who runs those cities? Mostly Democrats and probably other blacks. So where do our problems lie? They lie in, we don't have good housing, our neighborhoods are dangerous, we have the worst schools, we have the worst access to hospitalization, to our jobs, et cetera, et cetera. Well, who's causing it? There's not a white man, there's not a Republican in sight that's doing it. So we create it for ourselves, yet we're looking for scapegoats. And America has sickened of the idea of always making that scapegoat somebody that's different than you and happens to be white. If we flip that, and in any way, shape, or form, and white people were complaining all the time about how the black man is running them out of the cities or whatever, people would look at white people like you're crazy. You're creating your own problem, but then, you know, positioning it as if somebody else is doing it. So that is a form of communism where you get people to believe that we are one group, monolithically so, and we must all stick together no matter what. So if a cop shoots a black kid in a city where the police chief is a black Democrat, the mayor is a black Democrat, everybody who's on the police review board are black Democrats, the guy that got shot was committing a crime against black people, et cetera, et cetera. Let's go find a white guy to blame. That's ridiculous. So, and that's where we are.
Okay. So what is your prescription?
The prescription is we've got to start educating people and fighting our battles differently. We have to approach these problems not in the classic way. You know, for example, if you were saying what I was saying, somebody might call you a racist. I mean,
I would expect that.
You would expect
that? Yeah, I would expect
that. And what you have to say, well, then my racism must be in math and it must be in reality. Because the reality is, black folks are in control of police. Black folks are in control of their own politics. Black folks are in control of their own destiny. Black folks are in control of their lives. And yet you're always looking for somebody white to blame. Why is that, black man? And if you have the guts, anybody looking at me, looking at this camera and saying to themselves, I have the guts to make that comment, you're probably well on your way to healing. Because as long as you take it, believe me, somebody's going to be okay with it. I use this analogy all the time. I had a cousin say to me, one of my cousins would always borrow $5. And she says, I hate when I see, you know, our other cousin. He always bums $5 off of me. And I go, why do you hate him? He's smart. He's the one that knows you're going to give him $5. What you should be hating is yourself, because you don't have the guts to tell him, no, I'm not giving you $5. Either pay back the last $5 or the $30 I've loaned you, or I'm not giving you any more. But when you give it to him every time, you call him crazy? You're crazy. So I say to white America, you're crazy. If somebody's bumming, making you feel guilty for something, you're a racist. How so? What black person have you oppressed?
Well, hopefully nobody.
Oh, it's funny how you say that. Hopefully, I don't know. Let me see, did I offend a coffee guy that got my coffee this morning? You have not oppressed anybody. And that should be the first thing out of your mind, is I haven't oppressed anybody. So why am I going to take your guilt? Any more than a white man coming up to me saying, Kevin, blah, blah, blah. Hey, shut up, white boy. Get out of my face. I got nothing to do with you. You are in control of your life. I don't have anything to do with it. Okay? So that's what we've got to get to as a country. We have to ignore the cries of feminism, the cries of xenophobia, the cries of Islamophobia, the cries of white nationalists and all this other nonsense, and say, we're one country that has embraced every culture, creed, nonsensical idea on the planet. And if your idea isn't to take off, it isn't because somebody put their foot on your throat. It's because your idea sucks.
Kevin Jackson, it's such a pleasure to have you on American Thought Leaders.
Might as well.
All right, that was Kevin Jackson, and he was talking about how black Americans are thriving under Donald Trump. Well, that's just some food for thought, ladies and gentlemen. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.